Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You know, the more I look at this report, Lee,
this
FISA report, the more I think this was a devastating day for the FBI, factually, particularly what's in the index. It was a good day for the FBI in terms of the spin that Horowitz put on this. But when you start diving down into the facts, they're horrific. I mean, they literally walked into court and just flat out made stuff up, signed their names to it, which when anybody else does it is perjury. And which is a crime. And they just walked out of court, did not care.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the left is out there on my trolls. Well, it was no partisanship here. Okay. Well, maybe there was some other reason they committed perjury. Honestly, the reason doesn't really matter at this point. They did it.
Mm-hmm.
It's devastating what they did, because when you use the term that you're going to see thrown around on the mainstream media all day, inaccuracies and omissions, and you started looking at what were the inaccuracies and omissions? Well, they just made it up that the Trump campaign was on the take from a foreign entity. That's illegal. They offered no proof, got the warrant, knew full well it wasn't going on. In fact, it's so bad. You know, when you hear inaccuracies and omissions, you assume they just, you know, they messed up. They should have tried like really harder to get it right, but they didn't try hard enough. No, that's not what happened. John Solomon explains that today in his piece. A whopping 9 of these violations fell into the category called supporting document shows the factual assertion is inaccurate. For those who don't speak IG parlance, it means the FBI made 9 false assertions to the FISA court. In short, what the Bureau said was contradicted by the evidence in its official file. They lied to the court.
Yeah.
They didn't feel like we thought it was true. We should have probably tried harder, but we did. We weren't really sure. No, it was in their file. They knew it wasn't true. They said the opposite to the court to get this warrant to spy that they wanted so badly.
And with all due respect to Inspector General Horowitz, the fact that those errors were committed shows political bias, in my opinion, uneducated as it may be.
And you know what? This is such this whole Horowitz report, the way that part's written up, it's just a big diversion.
Yes.
Well, we ought to be debating this morning. These are crimes.
Yeah, yeah.
You can. This is what surprises me. And this is where, once again, our side is we get led around by the nose. Well, was it biased or not? I don't know. Maybe it was. Who cares? It's illegal.
Yeah.
You can't lie to the court like this and then sign under penalty of perjury. It's so simple. It's not hard to understand. This is why Bill Barr and John Durham have turned this into a criminal investigation. This is the clearest sign of perjury, and we're going to spend the next week arguing about whether it was partisan or not. I don't care. I mean, I do, but that's an asterisk next to the perjury. Let's have a debate about whether this was criminal, because I don't think the left and the FBI and the DOJ and the Democrat Party, but then I repeat myself, have a leg to stand on here. So they want to have an argument about whether it was partisan or not. I want to have an argument about whether it was perjury or not. Because when you tell something to the court that is contradicted by evidence in the official file, that's perjury. It's that simple. When you have evidence that's exculpatory that proves that the person did not do what you're saying they did in court and you know it, that's perjury.
That is the point right there. That's the very crux of this whole situation. And this is where things really went off the rails. And if you want to see a good article on this, Fox News has got a good representation, and I posted this on our Facebook page. It's like, I think it's like 7 takeaways from the report. This report is 415 pages. I don't know if there are going to be too many people who are going to read the whole thing. However, these people have gone through this, and they're quoting from the report here, so this is not just an interpretation. They're quoting from the report, and they show you some of the things, and they do talk about exactly what you just said here.
Yeah, I've got that too. I was going to get into that.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean
to jump
ahead.
No, go right ahead.
But I mean, this is the whole. This is what you need to know about the IG report, that it shows that there were things that exonerated that the Trump administration, that showed that it was, It was an investigation in search of a crime. That there was no crime. The Trump administration was not actively seeking any involvement from the Russians, period. There were people trying to make it look like they were. But there was no one in the Trump administration that was actively pursuing an involvement of any foreign government into the election. It didn't happen. We've had the Mueller report say that. Now we've got the IG report pointing it out and the fact that the FBI lied about it. That's what's going on here.
And when you read Bill Barr's statement, it's devastating. This is the key part, disagreeing. John Durham disagreed too. And we're going to get into why. Because there's a very good reason for them to disagree. I'll tell you what it is. Coming up. But here's let me lay out what they said. Here's Bill Barr, Attorney General, taking issue with Horowitz's findings. The Inspector General's report now makes clear that the FBI launched an intrusive investigation of a U.S. presidential campaign on the thinnest of suspicions that, in my view, were insufficient to justify the steps taken. It is also clear that from its inception, the evidence produced by the investigation was consistently exculpatory. That means it proved nothing wrong was done.
Right.
Nevertheless, Barr writes, the investigation and surveillance was pushed forward for the duration of the campaign and deep into President Trump's administration. In the rush to obtain and maintain FISA surveillance of Trump campaign associates, FBI officials misled the FISA court, omitted critical exculpatory facts that show Trump was innocent,
exactly,
from their filings, and suppressed or ignored information negating the reliability of their principal source. The inspector general found the explanation given for these actions unsatisfactory. While most of the misconduct identified by the inspector general was committed in 2016, 2017 by a small group of now former FBI officials, the malfeasance and misfeasance detailed in the inspector general's report reflects a clear abuse of the FISA process.
Yeah, the abuse of the power was by the FBI, not President Trump.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so this document is a brilliant tactical shift of the debate.
Oh, yeah.
They got the whole country. Horowitz got the whole country debating partisan, nonpartisan. Oh, how could Horowitz say it was nonpartisan? Again, I don't care. Let's talk about whether it was perjury. Because, see, that's what really matters here. That's a factual thing. Partisan, nonpartisan. Come on, it obviously was partisan. But honestly, who cares? If they're allowed to commit perjury, because that's what this establishes. Perjury is A-OK, as long as the FBI believes that your politics is not good for the country. This is an absolute license for tyranny, this report.
And you've got the Democrats in the media going around, and once again, as you say, you repeat yourself, they're talking about how this exonerates the FBI, that this protects the institutions. Here's my takeaway from this, folks. I still have faith in the institutions of this country. But I have zero faith in the people who are in leadership positions of these institutions of our country. No faith at all.
Yeah, I don't have faith in our institutions. Because
no, I have faith in the institutions.
No, because they're...
It's the people within them.
But they're policed by the people
That's
in Washington.
Point.
And the new standard there is no standard.
But here's the thing,
and so
though.
There'll be nothing but anarchy.
Be careful about that, Tara, because that's what I'm getting to. If we lose faith in our institutions, which is what they're trying to do, then we do have chaos and anarchy, and we tear down this nation and the way it was founded and how it was founded. So I still have faith in the institutions as constitutionally written. I do not have faith, however, in those who lead those institutions.
Yeah, but the FBI wasn't constitutionally created at all. It's a creation of Congress. You know, I mean, until there's justice, until American people can see justice, I don't have any faith. It's the only thing that'll restore faith, and we're now the entire future of the republic, in my mind, is now in the hands of Bill Barr and John Durham. And if they don't bring about some kind of justice here, then we're going to have tyranny. And I mean, to me, our institutions, they're meaningless.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Texter writes, I don't understand if Horowitz doesn't have the authority to do a full investigation. Why is he in charge of this report? Why does he even exist? Such a waste of time and money. Okay. Great question. I want to come back and remind you of something, because this is why what Bill Barr and John Durham know and what Horowitz knows are two completely different things. Let me read this to you again. Horowitz, regardless of what you think of him personally, has always been a paper tiger. He's got no ability to compel testimony. He relies on voluntary cooperation for much of his data gathering. Nobody has to talk to him, and nobody has to say anything to him about anything they don't want to. He has some subpoena power over documents, but it's very limited. The IG report on this matter was never going to be a total telling of what happened, because it can't be. It's totally voluntary. So what people have told to Horowitz is just what they want him to hear. He can't ask follow-up questions. This is completely incomplete document. So why are we relying on this? The texter asked. Was Horowitz in charge? Well, the whole purpose of this thing, Horowitz, as the inspector general, his job is internally to police the DOJ and the FBI. So his report is not really for you. And these reports usually weren't even really publicized much in the past. The reports for Bill Barr, the reports for the head of the FBI, Christopher Wray, it's to tell him kind of what's going on inside. It's not to be all end all, but it's being treated as that by the media, because they know Horowitz is an Obama appointee and they know he'll do whatever it takes to cover for the deep state. He's just a bureaucrat. A bureaucrat without the ability to compel testimony. What about the people with the ability to compel testimony and full subpoena power and warrant power? What are they saying? That'd be Bill Barr and John Durham. They're disagreeing with the conclusions in the Horowitz report. They're the ones who can see the answers to the test. Horowitz can only guess at them. So you got to be real careful with this. With all of that in mind and stripping the spin off, this was a devastating report for the FBI. It documented their perjury. There are easily chargeable offenses here for James Comey, Rod Rosenstein, and Andrew McCabe at a minimum. This is what Horowitz did, which is so shocking here. Again, if you take nothing away from this, we're going to have a big stupid debate all day long and probably for 2 weeks now. What was it, partisan? Was it bipartisan? Was the FBI, what was in their mind? Were they biased? Were they unbiased? Who cares? Did they commit perjury? That's really devastatingly documented in this. They committed perjury. Why isn't the word perjury used? Because this report is one big diversion from Horowitz. And even though Horowitz didn't use the word perjury, it's really clearly perjury. I mean, John Solomon couldn't have made it clearer in here. But you can pick your source. It doesn't matter. The lies they told the FISA court were contradicted by the information in their own files. That's perjury. It's really obvious. And it's over. So now the question is, in this country, is anybody going to do anything about it? Because if nobody does anything about it, our institutions, the injustice is impossible in America anymore. It is unfair to send the lowest level drug dealer to prison if these people can get away with this, if cops are this dirty. It's disgusting what they did. But coming up on the show, I'm going to explain to you something that you'll want to understand. I'm going to reconcile what Bill Barr and John Durham know with what Horowitz knows. I told you this, and it looks like I got it. I was really right on this. I told you this. I said, what the way that the report will come out, whether the FBI did something wrong, didn't do something wrong, would depend on what point Horowitz started his investigation at. What point in the inception, the beginning of this investigation, did Horowitz start at? See, because if you start at point C, you're going to miss point A and B, and that's where the real crimes occurred. Or maybe you start at point B, and then you miss major crime A. Well, what's major crime A? What's major crime B? See, Horowitz would know, since he didn't start his report there. He started at C. And when you start at C, everything is different. It's off. It's wrong. Your entire perspective is foobarred. So what was A and B? What was the part that Horowitz conveniently skipped? I thought he'd do this, and he did it. I warned you about it last week, hoping I wouldn't be right, and I was. Emailer to Tara at 1063WORD.com writes, "Hey, to Lee, is it possible to separate institutions and the people that run those institutions? If an organization that was once good hires people that aren't, is it still good?" Of course not. Glenn in Piedmont has something he wants to say. Good morning, Glenn.
Hi, Tara. Love your show.
Thanks.
I've heard you make the comment, and Lee, and really Rush, Sean Hannity, all the conservative talk show hosts, that the problem within the FBI is we're just talking about the top echelons. It's not the rank and file. I beg to differ. When that's in any organization, problems like that will become systemic throughout the organization. And I believe this goes on from the top to the bottom.
Let me ask you a question, Glenn, just a little thought exercise for fun. Who does the hiring at the FBI? I mean, who's ultimately in charge of that? Generally speaking.
Is it the Justice Department? Is it the Justice
generally
Department?
Speaking.
Or is it,
well, I mean, the buck stops with the head of the FBI. I mean, hiring the HR department answers to him or her,
true.
Just right? So do you think they're going to hire honest patriots to follow them around while they suborn perjury?
No, I get your point there.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, Glenn, going to what you're saying. What was the first time the FBI used its powers to help the Clintons politically? Most people would say, well, probably, 2016. No, it was Filegate. It was Filegate. It was back in the 90s. They took people's files who were political enemies of the Clintons. They walked them out of the FBI. They should have never been keeping them. I mean, that was a Fourth Amendment violation. They walked them out of the FBI and they found them in the White House. Nobody ever went to prison.
Right.
That was the 1990s.
Well, we definitely have a two-tier justice system, and this is never going to get any better.
So let's think about this for a minute. Let's go back to Filegate. The FBI kept files on the Clintons' political enemies. I mean, think about it in a weird way. It's almost worse than what's going on now. They just didn't have the technology to do what they did now, so they had to take the files they were illegally keeping on political enemies of the Clintons, and to get them to the Clintons, they had to walk them to the White House, where they found them. Nobody ever went to prison then either. Okay. Those people in the 90s who did that, we still don't even know everybody who was involved. That generation did the hiring for this generation. So you can't date this from 2016. You can't date this from Comey. You can't date this from McCabe. You got to go back to the 90s. It is expected that the top tier of the FBI, and they expected of themselves, will do the Clintons' political dirty work. It has not ended. Now the next generation is generation two. Three, probably. I mean, honestly, did it ever end when Hoover left the building? I'm not convinced it did. This is not a constitutionally created entity. It needs to be destroyed. There is no other way to end it but to destroy it, or we will end up with secret police in this country. There's really no other way. I'd love to tell you something different this morning, but I cannot. But I want to thank you for your phone call, Glenn. And I want to go back and do something. Let's suppose this morning that I rob a bank. I walk into a bank. I put a gun in somebody's face. I say, give me the money. They give me the money. Then I get outside, and the getaway car is going. I'm mad. So I call an Uber. Uber shows up. Guy sees me with my gun and my bag of cash, says, uh-uh, I'm not doing this. But I stick the gun in his face, and I say, yes, you will. I'll get in the car, and I make him drive. That's a carjacking, right? After a bank robbery. Now, suppose I start investigating at the point where I put the gun in the face of the Uber driver. Now, what am I investigating? A carjacking. Not a bank robbery, right? Well, that's what Horowitz did. And I told you I thought he'd do this last week, and he did. Where did he start his investigation? Now, you can begin to see why John Durham and Bill Barr would have stepped in yesterday and gone, we disagree with all your conclusions. The media will spin this as, well, they looked at the same thing and different people disagree. No. Here's the difference between the Bill Barr investigation, the John Durham investigation, and this means everything, folks, to understanding this. Their investigation began before Joseph Mifsud. Horowitz's investigation began after Joseph Mifsud. And that means everything. Why? Who's Joseph Mifsud? Joseph Mifsud is the guy who is in hiding in Italy for fear of his life. Joseph Mifsud is the guy who, by his lawyer's own admission, he's afraid we'll kill him. Who? The deep state. Wow, why? I don't know. Nobody cares. Horowitz didn't even look at it. According to the Horowitz report, this whole thing starts when George Papadopoulos speaks to the Australian ambassador Downer. And he says, hey, you know, it sure seems like these Russians want to offer us some stuff. And that begins the investigation. Where did Papadopoulos get that idea? What would cause Papadopoulos to think the Russians had contacted the Trump campaign and made such an offer when we know for a fact it didn't happen? It's a lie. Mueller proved that. What would have put that in Papadopoulos' head? And if you read Horowitz reports, you have no idea. But who have the media been freaking out over Bill Barr and John Durham's trips to see? Who? Joseph Mifsud, who is he? We're told he's a Russian. He's a Russian asset, Russian center. Did they? Or is Joseph Mifsud an FBI operative? His lawyer says he's not a Russian asset. Got a lot of connections to the FBI. See, because if the FBI didn't have any Russian connections, which we now know they did not, how did all this happen? They sent Joseph Mifsud to tell George Papadopoulos that the Russians, you know, we'd want to offer you some dirt. Want to offer you some, maybe some money, some dirt, some disinformation on Hillary. Russians want to offer that. Because they didn't have a Russian spy. They didn't have Russian contacts. And we know they didn't have Russian contacts. So where'd Mifsud come from? Why is he in hiding? Why is he afraid to come out? Why does his lawyer think people are trying to kill him? I'm just asking these questions. It'd be interesting. So none of those questions were answered in the Horowitz report. But let's suppose for a moment, if we look at the remaining conflict between Durham and Horowitz, this is reporting this morning from the Conservative Treehouse, and it's really important. The remaining conflict is, who is Joseph Mifsud? If Joseph Mifsud was not a Russian operative, who sent him? I'm going to tell you who sent him. The FBI and the CIA sent him to talk to Papadopoulos, to give them a reason to do this. Now, would that change everything? Yes. Who was it who was so important? The Attorney General of the United States of America personally had to go sit down with him. And or his lawyer. I'm not sure which it was. It's not clear from the reporting in the Italian media. Mifsud. Why? Horowitz's silence on it. I would change everything if the FBI set this up so they could use the Papadopoulos exchange with Downer as a way to get in there, which they did. That's why Horowitz started his investigation right where he did, after the biggest crime of all. Just wait. Just wait. Texter writes on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, y'all are on fire this morning. Tara, I agree with you. The question, was it partisan, is as irrelevant as tacking a hate crime onto a hate crime charge onto a murder. The important part is what was willfully done, not the motivation. Yeah, this is perjury. This is classic perjury. And to use the term omission to describe it, well, what does the index say? The information provided to the FISA court, the Carter Page warrant, was contradicted by other information in the FBI's own file. That's perjury. It's a crime. So forget, was it partisan or not partisan? My trolls are out this morning. Oh, it wasn't partisan. See, the FBI's been cleared. No, they haven't. See, because what Horowitz just described is absolute open perjury. It's not, well, they forgot to include, I mean, they should have, or they just misunderstood the evidence, and it was an omission. No, it was contradicted by the evidence in their files. They lied under oath. That's perjury. They signed under penalty of perjury. I don't know why it's so hard in America to see what this means today, to say what this means today. These were crimes by the FBI. On misrepresentations. I mean, what would the FBI actually have to do before we called it a crime? What do you call it? Here, put yourself in the defendant's seat and see what you'd call it. They say you robbed a bank. They accused you of that in front of everybody you've ever known. They accused Trump of treason. of betraying his country. And the whole time in the files, they had exculpatory evidence. They had evidence that it didn't happen, and they didn't tell anybody. And then they went into court and signed under penalty of perjury that you committed a bank robbery. Can you imagine the horror of that? Of everyone you've ever known shunning you? Thinking you're a criminal and something horrible? That's what happened to Trump. And the whole time, they had evidence in their files showing it wasn't true. They knew it and they lied under oath. That's perjury. It's a felony. It is punishable by up to 5 years in prison. I don't know why this is so hard. And again, today we're going to debate, well, was it partisan? Was it not partisan? Well, there was some misrepresentation, some omissions. Yeah, you omitted the evidence that he was innocent that was in your files. And then you signed that everything that you had given the court was true and to the best of your knowledge and had been verified. That's perjury. It's classic. So are we going to call it what it is, or are we going to continue to pretend as a country? I don't care why they did it. We all know why they did it. They told us it was the insurance policy in the unlikely event you die before you're 40, or the unlikely event President Trump gets elected. How much clearer could they spell it out? So once again, you're getting the deep state head job this morning, provided by the mainstream media. Heck, Fox can't even figure out what's going on here. Well, is it partisan or is it misrepresentation? It's perjury. It can't be clearer. There's either going to be indictments or there are not. If there are not, we are in a constitutional crisis, folks. It's not harder than that. It's really simple.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.